Well, good morning, everyone. I'm Joe Shannon. I'm one of the leaders here. And every couple of months, I think, I get the honor of sharing a message with you. And we're in a series at the moment. And the sort of provocative title, the phrase that we use, right, Seven Deadly Sins, it's pretty attention-grabbing. But our theme for the beginning of this year has been around letting the light in. So we're not going to spend too much time talking about the deadliness of sin, but more around letting the light in. And part of letting the light in obviously means illuminating some things that sometimes we can tend to avoid talking about, or we prefer to keep beneath the surface because it's easier, right? So last week we looked at the sort of self-indulgence of lust and gluttony, and how we can practice fasting from food. And today, we're going to be talking about the deadly sin of greed. And if you can just about read it up there, it's from greed to generosity. And how we can be transformed from a more self-centered approach to life and to our finances and to our resources, and begin to explore how we can live a life that's marked by generosity. So let's stand together this morning for the reading of the Word. We stand here to honor the Word with our bodies, to turn our attention to Scripture. And we're in 2 Corinthians here, just for some context, chapter 8. And this is the Apostle Paul writing to the church in Corinth. And he's sharing stories of what's happening as the early church is growing in different locations. So verse 1 says, "Now I want you to know, dear brothers and sisters, what God in his kindness has done through the churches in Macedonia. They are being tested by many troubles, and they are very poor, but they are also filled with abundant joy, which has overflowed in rich generosity. For I can testify that they gave not only what they could afford, but far more, and they did it of their own free will. They begged us again and again for the privilege of sharing in the gift for the believers in Jerusalem. They did even more than we had hoped, for their first action was to give themselves to the Lord and to us, just as God wanted them to do." Let's pray this morning. Lord, thank you, as we've already talked about and already noticed this morning, that your generosity to us is so abundant. Lord, help us to see how you call us to be generous. Help us to see the things inside of us that maybe aren't always so generous. Lord, help us to understand those things that we are holding a really tight grip on, and just to begin to release that grip. Lord, we say we surrender to you. We want to surrender to you. We want to surrender everything to you and commit our ways to you. Lord, help us to see those things, those areas that we might have some hurt or some pain that needs healing. And Lord, help us to practically walk this out as we follow Jesus together. In Jesus' name, amen. Everyone, please be seated. Now, I don't think any of you probably, could be wrong, but I don't think that you woke up this morning and said, you know, I'm just going to be really greedy today. It probably wasn't a phrase that crossed your mind, but also you probably didn't wake up and think, I'm being far too greedy. I should not be so greedy. I should share more with other people. These aren't just things that sort of randomly cross our mind, and yet God's invitation is to let the light in on those things. And I'm going to be making some bridges this morning between Pastor Johnny's messages last week about self-indulgence, because greed is a kind of a natural progression of that. When we think about lust and gluttony, we're kind of rooting that in a sense of greed. But greed really grips our culture, and it doesn't take too much to look. You don't need to look in too many different places to be able to see how people in general are trying to acquire as opposed to trying to give. And it can take many forms, but I do want to be really clear this morning. A challenge, as anyone who gives a message knows, there's so much information, there's so many contexts, there's so many examples that we can give. I really felt in my heart and my spirit just to really focus on generosity, specifically with money, specifically with finances, because we can be generous with lots of things. We can be generous with our time. We can be generous with our prayers. We can be generous with fill in the blank. But specifically, we don't talk about money enough and talk about God's approach and biblical teaching on money. And it, let's be honest, it's a real area where if we don't give up control, it can really cause us some problems. Tim Keller says, money flows effortlessly to that which is its God. Let me just say that again. Money flows effortlessly to that which is our God, right? So we're going to pour our money out to something that is important to us. We're going to give money to something that's important in hope that we get something in return. Usually it's very transactional, right? But if I looked at your bank statement or your credit card statement today, what would I see? Where's your money flowing? Do we ask those kinds of questions in the context of us being a Christian, not just being a human who's trying to survive in a culture where things are going up, prices are going up, right? And I'm a big believer in having a good budget and knowing where your money goes. If you've ever had that feeling 10 days after your paycheck hits your account and you look at your bank balance again, you say, wait a second, where did that go? Where did all that flow to? And God cares about our finances. And for most of us, a large portion of our paycheck or the money that we earn or the money that we have goes to things that we classify as necessities, right? They're essentials. Things like housing, utilities, food, maybe some vehicles, maybe some student loans, maybe some other stuff that's out there. But things that we say, well, it's not really optional. We just need those things. And God recognizes those necessities. God recognizes our fundamental needs. But I really want to get down to the posture of the heart this morning. I want the Spirit to reveal the areas where we can be a little greedy with the resources that God has given us, even if we don't want to label it as being greedy. And where it leads us to be dependent on ourselves or indulgent on ourselves. And let me be clear, right? There's nothing wrong with buying things. There's nothing wrong with spending money on good things. But we must also have a vision of radical generosity that does go above and beyond our individual necessities, our individual needs, maybe our individual wants, and makes a way for us to participate in what God wants to do with our money. I have a few points this morning that are more points of emphasis than sort of completely different steps or reasons. But the first one, which I think we can all agree with, our money has a purpose. And humans, by our natural sin nature, can be greedy, right? We get into survival mode, or we want our money to fund our experiences, our pleasures. If anyone were to say how much money was bet on the Super Bowl alone, a single game, and I told you that it was $39 billion, would you believe me? $39 billion. And you could say, well, that's just rich people having fun, right? $39 billion on a single game for the promise of more money, right? It's not just wasting money. It's spending money so that I can get more money back if I win. And it promises more money without even working for it. But what do we think more money is going to give us? Some of us trying to get more money by working more. Some of us trying to get more money by buying things and selling them for a profit. And again, all of that is good. God has given us all of these things. But in his book, Redeeming Money, I have to say this was recommended to me by an executive who owns a financial advising firm. It's called Redeeming Money by Paul David Tripp. We have it available in the resource lounge if you're interested. He says, why do we love money so much? We love it because we think that it will do for us what it will never do. What God has designed for it to do is different to what we think it's designed to do. Fundamentally, we think money will buy happiness. We think our stuff will somehow love us in return. And we're all familiar with the phrase, right? Money can't buy happiness. And that's a wonderful phrase that rich people use to kind of tell people who don't have money that it would, you know, it's not the answer. But the point here is we think our stuff or our experiences or our pleasures will somehow love us in return. And it's true that usually that lasts, but it's not that place of deep fulfillment. We think and fixate, if I could just have that car, if I could just have that vacation, if I could just have that bigger house, that new pair of shoes, that piece of hunting equipment, whatever it is, that outfit, that experience, we think that it will make us feel or maybe even appear better to others, and we justify how it will enable us to do things that we couldn't do before, or we even use our kids or our family to justify it not being for ourselves, but it's for others. I think I'm being generous, but making memories with your family and going on vacations are great, but it's also possible to use our money to fund other people's greed. It's possible to use our money to fund other people's greed, to fulfill other people's desires so that we think they will like us even more. In our house, we recently, 2 years ago, I guess, got a Nintendo Switch. And if I told my son, hey, and he asks for this almost daily, by the way, I want my own Switch. Because then I don't have to share what I'm doing and share what I'm playing, right? I just get to play whatever I want all the time. But if I said to him, hey, I've got some money and I'm going to buy you a PS5, an Xbox, I'm going to buy you that Switch, I'm going to buy you an iPad, and whatever else you want, he might look at me and say, this is the best day ever. This is wonderful. But obviously, we recognize as adults, we don't understand the impact that all those devices would have. Even having all of those, when the next one comes out, I want that now. I want that now. And that's not even talking about the games for each of those devices, right? I'm not trying to make us sound more shallow using these extreme examples, but I think there are things in our lives where God wants to illuminate. He wants us to think about where our money is going. And usually, it's very subtle. Right? If we have the mindset that stuff will buy happiness, we realize that we've somehow made money bigger than God. Yet, our money has a purpose. So how is your money tied to your dreams of the future? We think about the average American, right? We want a four-bedroom house. We want a SUV. We want a vacation. We maybe have some travel plans. We want a 401k so that we can retire one day. And God is okay with all of those things. It's not that he wants you to live a life of poverty, right? But if that's the plan, and if that's your plan, for many of us as it is, it's missing the larger call to follow Jesus and be God's ambassadors on the earth and using the resources that he has given us to be his representation. And we know the truth that we must look different from the average American, right? If that's the limit of your goals and your dreams for your money, you look just like the American world, right? And the normal American plan lacks the gospel perspective and vision. It focuses money on my personal need rather than on God's gospel and kingdom agenda. Pastor Johnny mentioned last week about the rich young ruler. Jesus didn't want this man to sell all of his possessions because he wanted him to be poor and because he wanted him to experience suffering and he wanted him to be hungry. Jesus used that as a way to get this guy to sort of realize that being rich was far more important to him than following Jesus. And where do we find ourselves on that this morning? If Jesus said, hey, follow me, sell all your possessions. Imagine if this rich young ruler had actually done it, if he hadn't have gone away sad because he loved his stuff so much. Imagine if he'd actually done it. Jesus called this guy to follow him. He didn't specifically, personally call that many people to follow him. Could he have been one of his disciples? Would he have had his name a little bit more prominently in the history books? So what are we missing out on when we say no to God's invitation, or we choose the path that talks about our stuff and our riches, even if we don't consider ourselves that rich? It's true that God wants our devotion, no matter how much you have, right? As we read at the beginning of chapter 8 of 2 Corinthians, just like Paul said, the churches are very poor. They've been through some struggles, and yet they were richly generous. So that tells us that being generous, you're not required to be rich. If you're waiting to have more money because that's what it takes to be generous, then you're kind of missing the point this morning, because more money can actually make us more selfish, right? No matter how much we have, we always want more. That's human nature. It can make us overly independent and self-dependent. We can find any deal. We can make any situation go away. It causes us to think that we don't really need God, or certainly we don't really need other people. And more money can make us obsess over earthly things, right? Jesus said, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And again, there's no condemnation in here if you find yourself feeling that you're obsessing over wanting more. But it does cause us to say, okay, God, what should I do with that? Do you have a heart of contentment this morning? Do we believe that God will give us what we need to accomplish his purposes for our lives, not our selfish purposes? If we look at 1 Timothy chapter 6 quickly, it says, but godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into the world, we cannot take anything out of the world. But if we have food, if we have clothing, with these we will be content. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation, into a snare, into many senseless and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evils. It is through this craving that some have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many pains. Anything that we have comes from him. So God's purpose for your money must become your purpose as well. God's purpose for your money must become your purpose as well. So the second point today is that our money is God's money. And this can be a tricky one, because sometimes we can think that and we can read that in Scripture, but we live a very different way. When it comes to finances, a lot of people have grown up with a backwards view. A lot of Christians have the whole thing upside down. We tend to think of money as God's primary means of providing for us. And oh, by the way, he's also called us to give as an extra task. But if we really look at Scripture, and this book does a phenomenal job of breaking down all the ways that God is generous throughout the story of the Bible, lots of examples. I don't have time to get into all of it. But if we really study the Scripture, we see God's primary purpose for money is that we would be tools for his generosity, for his mission on the earth. And oh, by the way, he also uses it to provide daily for our needs. And I believe that this morning he wants to upend that for some people. If we look just a real quick, well-known verse in Proverbs 11, verse 24, it says, one gives freely, yet grows all the richer. Another withholds what he should give and only suffers want. He's someone who gives freely today. If I said, hey, here's $100 in cash, who wants it? there'd probably be some hands raised, right? But then if I said the only condition of you taking this money is that you give it away, you'd probably respond with one of two answers, right? One, I could probably use that for something. I could buy some food. I could buy some gas. $100, I could use that. Or you would say, that's really easy. I'll give that away. And that is because it wasn't from your wallet. It wasn't from your purse, right? You didn't have it allocated to anything else. You aren't thinking about that thing that you're saving for or that thing that you want to pay off. It's easy for us to give when it doesn't actually cost us anything. But God wants to see us, and he's inviting us to see us count the personal costs and choose his way. So are we listening in life when we're going about our business to where God is telling us to give? Not just when we have extra to give, right? Everyone knows tax season is coming. There'll be some returns for some people. Not just when we have extra, but what we have already. And all of 2 Corinthians chapter 8, it keeps going. And Paul is being very explicit. I encourage you to read it after this. But he talks about the fact that, of course, we shouldn't give if we have nothing. But the Macedonians were very poor and they still gave. So we shouldn't give so that it causes us to be devastated or causes us financial hardships. If you feel like God is telling you to give $10,000 and you'd have to take out a loan to do it, it's probably, I'd get some external advice on that before you do it, right? It says, do not put yourself in a dire situation. And yet, so often we can put those parameters, put those excuses in place as a reason not to give. And we miss the opportunities to give a small amount. If giving is something that's difficult for you, I encourage you to start small. So based on the previous two, right, our money has a purpose, our money is God's money. Thirdly, our money is our choice. So we may believe that our money has a purpose. We may believe that our money is God's money, but God gives us the choice at the end of the day. He doesn't put our money in our bank account and say, this is exactly what you must spend it on. You must not spend it on anything else. He doesn't force us, but he invites us into that invitation. He gives us money to steward it, and he looks at the heart. And maybe this message, it's a little, you feel yourself getting a little defensive or you feel a little harsh today. And I'm not trying to point out all the things that we could say we could be doing better. But put any of that guilt aside, what is it that God is illuminating in you that might be out of alignment with his biblical view of generosity with others? Are we looking for opportunities to be generous? And yes, there will be some in the room who are abundantly generous every chance you get. But there may be others who don't give money to anyone or to anything other than a few simple things. Maybe you give very rarely. Or maybe you give time, and that's a beautiful thing. There's nothing wrong with giving time. But that's kind of a separate point to what we're emphasizing today, that money is important to God. Money has been given to us by God, and our money is our choice. Does something need to be surrendered in your heart today? Does something even need to be awakened about how generous God has been with you? Does something need to be healed this morning? Did someone burn you in the past around money? Now you're extra protective? Did you lose money? Did you go through a period of having very little and the memories of that time makes you want to store up and protect so that you can make sure that never happens again? Maybe you have or you're trying to build a rainy day fund to give yourself some sense of security or to maybe even protect yourself from things in the future. And all of that is wise, right? That is a good principle. But I feel like God wants us to ask this morning, how many of us know that we can get stuck there? We get stuck on our personal goal. We get stuck on our personal dream. We get stuck on our rainy day fund, which is wise. but we get stuck on that inward self-protection or the inward funding of our greedy desires, and we can miss the opportunities to outwardly bless others. Let's pause for a second there, because some of you may be feeling a little defensive. And John Tyson has this wonderful quote that, with all the love in the world, any defensiveness that we have, any comparison that we have around money, any excuses that we have, tends to reveal some idolatry around money. Comparison is a wonderful avoidance mechanism, right? Oh, I give about as much as them, or they probably don't give the ways that I do, or I'm doing pretty well financially, or I'm doing terribly and I don't want anyone to know about it. We don't answer for other people when it comes to God, right? We answer for ourselves. So how do we personally, with our financial situation that we may keep to ourselves or we may share with others, how do we respond to God's personal invitation to surrender and be radically generous for God's kingdom purposes? I want to share a story that really revealed some things to me personally. I was downtown Pittsburgh with Annabelle. We were skating and I was skating, she was skating. We were both skating. Hungry. After 2 hours of skating in freezing temperatures, it gets very cold. And so we said, okay, let's have some dinner. So we walk up to outside of Market Square. There's a Five Guys, right? Delicious food, expensive. It's annoyingly expensive. Some say it's not worth it. I say it's definitely worth it. But as we approached up to this restaurant, I noticed a guy outside. Not this guy, but you know, I'm using it for illustration. And we pull up, and he says, "Hey guys, have you got some food? I'm really hungry." You've probably all been in that situation, right? There's someone on the side of the road. You're not really sure if they're in this situation because of something they've done, because of something someone else has done to them. If they're, you know, we've seen those YouTube videos where people get out of the Lexus and then they bring their sign and, you know, they look all tired so they can earn money that way. But I felt in the moment, you ever have those kind of out-of-body experiences? It was like, no, this is not the time. I'm with my daughter. She's 10 years old. I don't know who you are. You know, it was dark. I'm saying, no, we're just going to go in and eat. Sorry, can't help you today. And I felt the Spirit just kind of, in that moment, get that time stamp of just like, hey, remember this moment. So we sat down. We ordered what we wanted to eat, waited a few minutes, and began eating. And, you know, prayed, thanked God for the food that we were about to enjoy. And I kept thinking, like, hey, this guy is still outside. That's really interesting. A couple minutes later go by, and I see him come in the restaurant. And I'm like, oh, he's probably going to go around the tables. He's probably going to inconvenience everyone. He's probably going to, you know, ask people, hey, have you got any food? Maybe the restaurant, maybe the staff will, you know, deal with him. And then I realized that he was with someone. And he was with someone probably about my age, with a daughter. And he pulls up to the counter and he says, okay, what do you want? He buys the guy a meal, didn't take anything for himself. And, you know, this homeless person, he's ordering the triple burger. He's ordering the milkshake. He's ordering the extra large fries. He's taking, right? And it's a beautiful thing because this guy said, okay, have a great night. And then he left with his daughter and he walked out. And this man enjoyed a $40 burger and fries, right? And right at that moment, I was kind of sprung back to 5 minutes earlier where I had just said, no. And I realized I didn't even pray about it. I didn't even ask God if I should respond. I just assumed he's probably, you know, he's either asking for more than he deserves or he's not really homeless or whatever. Fill in the blank that we can do. And I heard the Spirit kind of give me the impression it really wasn't that difficult, was it? Right? All he did was go up, pay for his food, $40, probably not very much to this person. And that homeless person ate for the night. I don't know where he ended up. The guy who who bought it for him probably is never going to see him again. But how many times do we have those invitations from God when it's something that we think is small, when it's something that we think is insignificant, when it's something that we think maybe doesn't matter, and that's just a time where God randomly, spontaneously wants to bless someone so that they don't have a hunger as they go to sleep in that evening. God calls you and me to make his generosity visible in ways that we don't have to fully understand, ways that we don't have to fully be able to justify. But are we asking? Are we responding? And that's someone that I didn't even know, right? There's people in this community who are struggling. There's people in Washington, in my neighborhood. The kids that my kids go to school with, the food insecurity in Washington is very serious, and there's lots of things that we can go into there, but I think we ultimately bring it back to how are we making God's generosity visible in the way that we choose to use the money that he's already placed into our pockets or our purses. And this can start in really small ways. It's an opportunity to take that inward and self-indulgent greed and turn it into outward, others-focused generosity. Our money is our choice. And so there's three areas that we can practically address this. One theme with all these messages is we don't want to just say, hey, it's good to be generous, don't be so greedy. There's some practical nature that we can live into this generosity. And firstly, the practice of giving, I've kind of come up with these three different levels, right? So we can give collectively and consistently. And this isn't really a message focused on tithing, right? But we know that as part of a corporate body, we can give collectively, that the sum of all of our money does add up to more money. And doing that consistently is a biblical principle. So I just want to hit it quickly. If you're someone who doesn't tithe or doesn't tithe regularly, do you value this church? Do you value the vision? Do you value the ministry, the community that we have here? Do you value the ways that we can come together and service others, and the way that we can collectively gather our finances to be used for God's kingdom purposes? Is God calling you to be more generous here than you have been as an opportunity to use the resources that he's given you to advance our collective mission, our collective impact? Because God wants that devotion. Secondly, give personally and frequently. Sometimes we can give collectively and it stops there. Some of you have been very, very faithful in tithing or giving to things, a vision here, and different ways that we could be generous. But how do we give personally? Leah said this to me last night, and we didn't go into too much detail about my message, but she said, you know, to be able to give to someone personally, you kind of have to get to know them. You have to get to know what their needs are. You have to be in relationship with them. You have to understand, oh, that person has a need, not just something that they want. And sometimes I think God will call us to help people with the things that they want, not just the things that they need, as an expression of his love and his care for us. There might be individuals, there might be families, there might be things going on in your kids' school, there might be all kinds of areas where God says, personally, give to this thing. But don't just do that, again, when you have extra or when you feel like now might be the time. Frequently, if you're here today and you say, I've given to people before, just ask yourself, when was the last time? What's God inviting me to do this week? Do we have in our dreams and in our visions an opportunity to be generous at least once every single week, not just when we feel like it? And then thirdly today, this is a challenging one, give anonymously and spontaneously. It's quite different when we give to someone and we have the ability to hear, oh, thank you so much, you're amazing, this is so generous, this is wonderful. Because what does that do for us? we hear, oh, that's right, I am good, I am generous, I am whatever, and it makes us feel good. And I don't think that's a wrong thing, but I also think we should practice giving anonymously so that there is no record, so that we can release any pride that we have, any control over how they might spend the gift that we give them, any kind of religious spirit that says, well, I'll only give on this occasion or at this time. Giving anonymously, giving spontaneously, giving when there is a reason and when there is no reason. Do we listen to what God wants us to do with what he's given for us? I just want to invite the worship team up as we think through these things and as we address and just spend a few minutes thinking quietly in our hearts, because God calls us to costly obedience. It's not enough to just think about being generous or to know that it's a good thing to be generous. It's not enough to just save your money for yourself and never use it for God's kingdom purposes. And sometimes God absolutely will call us to pray for people, but sometimes it's not enough to only pray for people. We have to do the hard work. We have to do the costly obedience. And that's going to be different for every single one of us. Some of us in here, we really are struggling. Others, we have more than enough. And we said this in the prayer room. Both of those people can be greedy. Both of those people can keep a tight grip on things. And maybe you're somewhere in the middle. But you might find that your natural response when you hear of a need that someone has, your natural response is, God, I just pray that you would send your provision to that person. That's a good prayer. But what if the answer to that prayer was you saying, I'm going to contribute here. I'm going to cover this need practically because God has given me what I need and I want to bless this person. Again, do we do that? Do we do that consistently? Do we do that frequently? Do we do that anonymously? I want to say today that it's kind of a tongue-in-cheek phrase, but we all know money doesn't grow on trees. If we're praying for people out there to receive God's blessing, they're not going to find it at random. It flows from God's generous people to the needs that God wants to generously meet through the money that he's given his people. And all of that starts with believing that we have a heavenly Father who will supply what we need. And if you're struggling to believe that, if your personal situation says, I just don't feel God's generosity right now, or you're making excuses, or there's mistakes that you've made financially, and you say, I need to figure that out first before I can move into this. If we don't believe that we have a heavenly Father who will supply, who has promised to supply all that what we need, it'll be really difficult for us to be generous in an authentic way. So as we begin to just turn our attention to this next song, that will be a new song to most of you, the chorus line says, Christ is all that matters. Do we want to join with the saints to live in devotion today? So that whatever loss or gain that we have is an honor and a privilege, that my life would be a witness to Jesus' name. So whether you're here this morning and this message really does feel like it causes you to be defensive, or it causes you to be reactionary, or it causes you to insert an excuse, I just want to say you're welcome here this morning. God wants to upend some beliefs. He wants to move people from acquisition and how do I get more so that I can do more, to God, how can I serve you? How can I let what I already have, what you've already given me, be a blessing? And trusting that other people will do that for you in your life. Trusting him. as a really interesting passage that I was reading around this morning, and out of that, it just speaks to the desire to let things be revealed. And we're in this season of letting the light in. And it says, when we keep our deepest needs and secrets hidden, we're essentially saying, Jesus' victory is not enough. It's not enough for me. It's not enough for this. I need more time. I'll sort this out on my own, and then I can start doing this stuff. And God just says, come to me, all who are weary. Whether you're weary because of stuff that's happened to you around money, whether you're weary because people have let you down, whether you're weary, whether you're not feeling content this morning, we just want to create a space for people to come and bow before him again. And maybe this morning for you, it looks like confession. Sometimes we can only deal with what we need to deal with when we confess to God. Lord, I haven't been a good steward. I haven't been generous. I haven't been whatever. And we don't want to focus on all the wrongs that we've done, but let God fill that space with his love, with his acceptance, and maybe with his healing this morning. Are we open to receive that healing? So as we close our eyes this morning, as we think on this calling to generosity,